encouraged to sing praises to God. That's a real encouragement. Thank you. Great to be here this morning. I hope you're excited to spend time together with God's people. Encouraged to spend time together hearing from God and to be encouraged to spend time together praising His name. Those are great things to do, aren't they? Yeah, they are great things to do. Now, I don't know about you, but on my front windshield of my car, I have a sticker on the inside. And the sticker on the inside has some markings, some writings on it. It says, your next service is due at 80,000 kilometres or whatever it is, or on a particular date. And so I know at that time, I should take the car, actually I should ring up, book the car in and take the car in for a service to make sure everything's working right on the car, that the tyre pressure's right, because I don't check the tyre pressure. That's probably an easy thing to do, but that's okay. But more important things like that, like there's oil in the car, that it's running smoothly, like the brake pads have enough brake padness on them. Yeah, you can tell I'm really up on the cars, can't you? There we go. Anyway, I have to book it in for the service to make sure that everything's going okay. We put our cars in for checkups. We put our cars in for checkups. What about our own health? I had to visit the doctor last week. Nothing major, but during the consultation, they said, I want to check your blood pressure. So they put that thing around your arm and it tightens up and starts compacting a little bit. And then a readout comes on the screen with your blood pressure. And they want to check that everything's going okay. Everything's working with your body. Maybe you've had to have a checkup recently as well. Maybe for some other stuff. But we check up our health, don't we, to make sure that everything's working okay. What about a spiritual health check? What about a spiritual health check? Have you had one of those recently? Well, today's the day. Today's the day for a spiritual health check. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to spend some time in the third letter that John the Apostle wrote. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the chance to be here today. Thank you for being with us here now. Thank you that you desire us to grow more and more like you. We ask, Lord, that your word would give us today the necessary spiritual health check. Amen. So, if you haven't been to church for a little while, or you're not sure about this Christianity stuff, then we're looking at the Bible. We're looking at John's third letter. And the Apostle John is the author. He's the guy who wrote this letter. It's recorded for us in the Bible as part of Scripture, which we believe is God speaking to us, revealing himself to us, and teaching and correcting us. In verse 1 of the third letter to John, if you've got it there in front of you, let me encourage you. There's only a short section we're doing today, the first couple of verses in 3 John. It says, the elder, and that is John the Apostle, author of John's Gospel, the three letters, 1, 2, 3 John, and also Revelation. He is a leader in the early Christian church. He has some authority. See how he records it there. The elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. Now, what do we know about Gaius? There are a number of other times this name appears in the New Testament, and in each case they are associated with Paul. That's really all we know about the name. Not sure if this is the same guy or not. The bottom line is we don't exactly know, but it's not particularly relevant for the point that John is making here. It's another letter. So, 1 John was a letter written to a group of churches, if you like, a circular letter. 2 John is written to a particular church. And 3 John is written to a particular person, Gaius. And look at what he says in verses 1 and 2. The elder, to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. Beloved, I pray that all may go well with you, and that you may be in good health, as it goes well with your soul. So what do we find out about John here? We find out two things, I think. He's a leader who prays. A leader who prays. A wise leader who is praying for those he has, if you like, responsibility for, who he has connection with. And he refers to them as beloved. What does he pray for? Well, the elder John prays all may go well and for good health. He prays, if you like, all may go well for you. I want you to go well. I want you to be, as he'll go on to say, continuing to walk in the truth. And notice there he also prays for good health. Good health enables us, by God's grace and blessing, to work and serve him. And particularly in this case, that's what he's praying for. The ability for Gaius, who will go on in the letter to say, thanks to him for supporting other Christian workers, is I want you to continue in good health so that you might continue to serve God in this way. A wise leader is a praying leader. But not only that, he's a leader who cares. In verses 3 and 4, John says he rejoiced greatly and he has no greater joy. He cares about them continuing to walk in the truth, continuing to walk in the truth of Jesus. And he wants them to go well. He's concerned about them. Because we know some false teachers had come in to some of these churches and they were teaching something that wasn't true. And John, concerned about this, writes these letters to say, actually, no, you've heard the truth. You know the real Jesus. You know who he really is. And I want you to keep walking in him. Keep living the real Christian life. He cares about them. So this leader is a praying leader and a leader who cares. Now, some of us are in leadership positions, positions of influence. Maybe in the church here, maybe you're part of a ministry, you're leading in some way. But others of us are leading in other capacities. Perhaps we're parents, we're looking after people at work or in the roles that we're in. All of us perhaps have some form of leadership responsibility, whatever that is. So we need to pray. We need to pray, as the rest of Scripture reminds us. When we're anxious about things, we bring them before God. When there's great things happening, we bring them before God. Not just that people would be in good health, although that's a good thing to pray for, certainly, that we would continue in good health. And health is a blessing from God, isn't it? And it's great just to kind of go, sometimes actually, well, we're thankful for good health, Lord. Because it's not always the case. But also to acknowledge that God often works through difficulties in health as well. And as leaders, in whatever capacity, we're to lead as leaders who pray and care. Care about others walking in the truth. Care that others would continue to walk in the truth. All right. Let's spend a moment, actually more than a moment, just reflecting on that big question we started with. How are you going in your Christian life? How are you going in your Christian life? Now, I want to say there's a couple of ways you could answer that. There's a couple of ways you could answer that. You could, at one level, you could say, well, you know what? I am going fantastic, Matt. Thanks for asking. My Christian life is fantastic. Anyone here? Just hand up. No one's going, to be honest. But in your head, you're thinking some different things, aren't you? You're thinking, well, how is my Christian life going? Where's it at the moment? On one level, you could say it's going fantastic because of the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. I am declared righteous right before a holy judge because of what Jesus has done. Thank you, Lord. And I am right with him. So, fantastic, yes. Have a look at, well, actually, I'll read it for you. 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So there it is. Jesus' blood cleanses us from all sin. We are right. We have fellowship with one another and fellowship with God, relationship with him. So yes, Jesus' sacrifice on the cross has brought us into relationship with God, has taken us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. And as John also says, we are born of God then. A transformation has taken place. But how are you going? Yes, you've been saved by Jesus, but does God just stop there and go, that's great, that's fantastic, let's just leave it there? No, his goal is to take us and to transform us to be more like Christ. So how are you going? Are you really thriving at the moment? You think, yes, I'm thriving in my walk with God at the moment. Or are you barely surviving? Or somewhere in between? Well, it'd be a good time for a spiritual health check, wouldn't it? A good time for that. So let's do that. Because, like John says of Gaius in verse 2, as it goes well with your soul, just at the end there, as it goes well with your soul, John knows that Gaius' soul, his spiritual life, is in good health. That's what he says, it goes well. So how does he know? Well, verse 3, for I rejoiced greatly when the brothers came and testified to your truth. Some translations have faithfulness in the truth. So some of the believers, the brothers, had come to John and reported that what was happening. That his walk with the Lord was great, and in fact that he was supporting Christian workers who were coming to him. We'll see that next week. But what does it mean, testified to your truth? Well, we kind of get what he's talking about. Testified to the truth of him walking in the Lord, evidenced by his life, so that the gospel had come to him, but it affected him and transformed his life, so that he was living in love for one another. So the elder John has received this news. Gaius has understood the truth of Jesus and is now living it out. He's persisting in the correct action, walking in truth. And that's been a theme throughout John's letters, hasn't it? I've seen continue to walk in the light of Jesus, continue to follow him, abide, remain in him as you follow him. Back in 1 John 1:6, it says this, if we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. And in 1 John 3:9, no one born of God makes a practice of sinning, for God's seed abides in him, and he cannot keep on sinning because he has been born of God. So he's commending him, he's saying, this is evidence that you're going well with the Lord. In other words, he's not a hypocrite. He's not saying one thing and doing another. And I can see it, because the brothers have come back to me and told me about him, that his life is helping and loving others. In all three letters, John's joy is said to be complete when the readers, the hearers, maintain fellowship with him and walk in the truth. So how's your Christian life going? Does it go well with your soul today? Is that something you and I and we can echo? Well, each one of us is different. Each one of us is going through different things. So I want to spend some time letting the Bible give us a health check. To be perfect, completely spiritually healthy, is to be like Jesus. And the scriptures say that we're not going to be like Jesus until we reach eternity. We won't fully happen until the day he returns, when he in his greatness will transform us and remove sin completely. We need to realize that. But we should be growing. That will be the mark of those who are in Christ, that we will be growing in our maturity. So I've got a series of questions here that I want to work through as we think about our own spiritual health. Question number one, are you in love with Jesus? Are you in love with Jesus? Not in a sentimental way or a butterfly flapping wing type way, but in an awe and moved way. Are you more in love today with Jesus than you were yesterday, a week ago, a month ago, 5 years ago? Or is your love for him less? Is he less significant in your life today than he was 5 years ago? Are you in love with Jesus? In John's letters, it's clear that the motivator behind those who trust in him, our love for Jesus, is God's love for us. Our love is kindled as we glimpse his great sacrifice and love for us. If your love is lukewarm, then the tendency can be to focus on our own lives, to focus on our own love for God. I've got to cook this up somehow. Instead, we need to focus on his love for us and how awesome that is. And delight in that and say, God loves me so much. That's the motivator for me loving other people. That's what John's been saying throughout his letters. Are you in love with Jesus? Second question. Are you grateful for the cross? Are you grateful for the cross? Are you grateful for the sacrifice that Jesus has made for you? How will you and I make sure that we continue to say sorry to God for the things that we do which dishonor Him and which turn our backs towards Him? Because we'll need to do those day by day. And we'll continue to need to do those because that will say, oh, it is great that Jesus came and has died for me. That's a great thing. And I am grateful and thankful to Him for doing that. Are you grateful for the cross? Third question. Are you excited about the new creation? Does eternity with God seem like a good thing? You might be sitting there thinking, I'm not sure. Eternity with God, it seems like a long time. I kind of hope it's good. Hopefully it's going to be great because it's a long time, isn't it? Are you excited about that? Or are you just thinking, not so sure? Now, this is especially helpful, I think, in difficult times. When you're going through a hard time and you go, you know what? I'm looking forward to God's being with God forever, where sin is wiped out, where I can be with Him and it's going to be good and it's going to be fantastic. And when those times when you're going through difficulty, you go, you know what? I actually do really long for eternity with God. As the Apostle Paul said, our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that awaits us in the new creation. Do you actually believe that? Or is that something you kind of go, I don't know. Because here and now is pretty good. And I like here and now. Are you excited about the new creation? Does eternity with God seem good? Because sometimes we'll need to have our priorities and our lives rechecked by God's word and actually going, the scriptures speak of eternity with God as what God is working towards. The new creation, when everything's made new. See, when things went bad in the fall, God's been working His plans out to restore everything from that point on. That's where history's going. Question number four. Are you committed to God's people? Are you committed to God's people? A sign that you are spiritually healthy is that you value the church as God values the church. And as John says, we need to remain in Jesus, continue to abide in Him. Are you committed to God's people? Is it worth your while to be here today? Is it worth your while to spend time meeting with other Christians, encouraging one another? Do you think so? Are you committed to God's people? See, if we're maturing and continuing to mature as believers who love the Lord Jesus, then we'll be committed to God's people. And as the world perhaps becomes more and more hostile to the message of Jesus, then we'll need to be more and more committed to meeting together, encouraging one another, supporting one another as we follow and walk and love one another. As we continue to walk, we'll continue to need to do that. Are you committed to God's people? Question five. This is the last question. Question five. How are you serving? You see, we serve a servant who didn't come to be served, but to serve other people. And as you're walking with the Lord, as you're growing, then your service will be growing more and more in service of other people. A servant heart demonstrates growth in godliness. In 1 Corinthians 12, which I happen to be reading this week, Paul lists a number of gifts that are to be used in the body of the church. They are used in the body of the church for the good of others, for the good of other people. That's what serving is. Serving is saying, you know what, I'm going to value the other person more than I'm going to value me. Whether that's in your home, whether that's with your kids, whether that's with your grandparents, whether that's with your parents. My mum's here today. Hi, Mum. We're to be serving people. That's the mark of Christians. Well, there's some hard diagnostic questions there, aren't they? But it's good for us to take stock of where we're at with the Lord. To sit down and to pray and to think, well, where am I at? Am I maturing and growing? Do I really love the Lord Jesus? Do I love his people? How's my walk with the Lord going? You see, when I get the car back from the service, it's a really good feeling, actually, except for the bill. But, you know, the car's working, it's purring along. Everything feels tighter as well. The handbrake's tighter normally. Everything feels tighter. It's great. The checkup, they've diagnosed the problems and they've sorted it out. When you're going for a health checkup, they usually tell you something's wrong. They give you some solutions perhaps to fix it. Yeah, take some more vitamins. Maybe you're iron deficient. You gotta do that or some other thing. Help. So for us, doing a spiritual health check, letting God's word identify the areas that we need to fix with his help. The areas that we need to fix. We need to make an effort. We need to make an effort to continue to walk with the Lord while we're relying on his Spirit that empowers us and works in us and uses us to change. Those two things going together. God and his Spirit enacting in our lives so that we might become more and more like Jesus. But that doesn't mean we just go, huh, feet up. Excellent. Nice. Yeah. You put in hard work. You make plans. You'll be disciplined. Is it going well with your soul? Is it going well with your soul? What are the things that you think today God's identified in your life that you'll need to change if you're going to continue to mature? There'll be things in each of us where we just go, you know what? My love for Jesus probably is not as strong as it could be, if I'm honest with myself. Some of the time, my love for myself is probably more. I need some help. Maybe you need to be accountable with someone. Maybe you need to spend some more time talking with God. Commit to some daily prayer time. Because that's, if I'm honest with myself, that's just fallen by the wayside. Haven't spent time personally with God for a long time. Maybe that's you here today. That's okay. Say sorry, God. I want to make a plan. This is a moment where you say, you know what? Yeah, there's some things in my spiritual life that I need to fix up. And I need my brothers and sisters here to continue to encourage me to do that. To point out perhaps where I'm struggling with something and I need some help. And so we can all pray for each other, can't we? In fact, how often do we pray for one another? Have you taken the time in your personal prayer time to actually pray for a brother or sister here? That'd be a great start. We're thankful for Jesus and what he's done for us and his Spirit, which empowers us. But at the same time, we need to be reminded that as Christians, we are being transformed more and more into Christ's likeness. And we'll continue to need to work hard to do that with the help of God's Spirit working within us. How are we going to thrive in our Christian walk rather than just kind of get through it and survive it? I know sometimes we can go through difficult stages. And that's okay, we acknowledge that. We say sorry and we ask God for help to continue to thrive in our walk with God so that we can say, you know what, Lord Jesus, I really love you. I love you and I want to serve you. And I'm looking forward to the new creation when I'll be with you forever. I'm going to pray a prayer. It's based on a prayer by John Newton, the writer of Amazing Grace. And I'm going to lead us in this. Please join me in this prayer. Lord, I know I am not who I one day will be. But I thank you that I'm not who I used to be. Please make me more like Christ today than I was yesterday. And please answer that prayer each day until the day I stand before him. Amen. We're going to sing our final song, which is an opportunity